Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio.
Okay. Welcome to the Shungite Reality Show. It's August 5th, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. We're going to, do you want to start, Derek, or do you want Mark to start with the concept of, we want to stay on Shungite, and we want to tell you why it's so important that you really begin to, and most of you out there that listen to us probably know, but the environment that the schools are in, it's just awful. I can't remember which school system it is, but it's, once you have one happen, it's probably going to be others. They're banning cell phones from the schools. Okay, which is incredibly important. Now, they're all focused on the fact that, well, if the kids got the phone, then they're looking at the phone and they're not paying attention to the teacher. We're more focused on it that the electromagnetic energy that's coming off of that phone, especially when you got, 30 kids in a room, is terrible. Well, there was one study done over in Europe, I don't remember which country, on the what happens when one person is in a train car and starts using their cell phone. What happens to the electromagnetic profile in that car? And it is awful. One cell phone. Never mind a bunch of them going off. So we want to kind of like, for some of you, it'll just be a reminder and an update on the dangers of things in the schoolroom, that we can't get rid of the energies. You people have to do that on the ground. We've got to wake up. You cannot be having a Wi-Fi router in a classroom next to all these kids. Now, the reason that I never forget this is because very early in the Shungite story, one of my friends had a daughter who was wearing a Shungite pendant. And she asked her mom if she could get, with somebody that I was working with, and she asked her mom if she could get a Shungite pendant to give to her friend. So, and they were probably 10 years old. I think they were 10 years old. So she does, my mom gives her one, and she takes it in and gives it to him. So what happened was that when he got into the car with his mother to go home, she said, "How was your day?" And he was, "My day was great. I'm a superhero." And she went, "What? What's this all about?" And he said, Mom, I got this pendant." And he's showing it to her. And she's like, "Okay." And he told her who gave it to him. And he said, "We had computers today." And he said, "Every time we had to be on the computer," he said, "I would get a terrible headache." He had never said anything like this to her. And she was, "What? Every time you get on the computer, you get a headache." And he says, "Yes, but I didn't today. And I didn't because of this pendant that I've got." And he said that it made him feel like a superhero. And he also was babbling on. And she really didn't understand what she, because I'm getting the story from the mom telling my friend, because they were friends also. So there's a little lost in the translation, but I think the kid got it right off the bat. He said that both he and the girl that gave it to him, he said, had the pendants on. And he said, "Mom, the energy changed." Yeah, he's what, 10-year-old kid? What's he talking about? Energy changed. He said, "The energy changed," and all the kids in the room kept looking at us, like somehow or another we were making the energy change. And he said, "It wasn't us. It was these pendants, Mom." So that's, I'll never forget hearing that story, because it was like, it made Shungite real to me, that a kid that wouldn't understand the basics of what we're talking about got it, because he had been suffering and didn't even know how to explain it to anybody. And then when he got a resolution of it, that, "Oh, wow, I'm on the computer, I don't have a headache, I feel good." You know, he could make the connection to the pendant that he had gotten that morning. So that's why, we keep mentioning that it's time to go back and you should do this, that, and the other thing, at least to give your own child a buffer between them and their electromagnetic body and the environment that they're being forced to spend hours in. So, Derek, you want to say something about that, or should we have Mark talk about it?
I mean, either way, we can all just jump in, I guess. And everybody just give input regarding, well, I mean, Mark had some great ideas about things they can do, as far as, attenuating or having an effect on the frequencies in that environment. Because like you also mentioned, Nancy, was these classrooms, and it wasn't that way when, when you and I went to this high school and whatnot, but we didn't have massive Wi-Fi routers all over the place. I mean, covering the whole place on top of everybody's cell phone. And so I didn't know about the whole banning from cell phones from schools. Is that like a local thing or state, or what did you say about that?
It was
Happening in California.
Okay.
okay. So you know more about it than I do. I just heard a blurb, and of course they don't focus on it. It's like, what did you just say? But Mark, what do you think? It's in California?
Yeah, the governor was making a big deal about it, which nobody likes, and he's being recalled, but I don't know too much of the detail. I could look it up right now, but it's supposed to be a big thing in California. I forget who said where. Yeah, they're banning the cell phones, but you can have a flip phone and that should work. I mean, it's because of all of the colors and lights from the phone, aside from obviously the radiation, which is a class two carcinogen. But since I'm talking here, part of my job is in retail, and you have all of this back to school stuff out, right? And I know we're still in the beginning of August. People are vacationing still, and but this still works for, the Shungite magnet for the car. The resin that Derek sells in Mystical Wares is really helpful as far as getting kids' interest, because you have the Shungite silver unicorn, and then you got the dragon and the rose, and those are only $10 for not just the Shungite itself, but the silver. And it's resin, so it's kind of, makes it more user friendly for kids. Then you got the keychain versions, which is just $2 more. So a lot of good options. You have a heart shape. You can put it on their backpack, or even in their belt loop of their pants or shorts, to have it on them 24/7, because we know that that does increase stem cells. Yeah. So there's a good. I just type in resin when I'm in Mystical Wares, and you get 3 pages worth of those things. And to me, the go-tos would be the unicorn, the dragon looks really cool, and then the and you got this other variations of the heart shape, the teardrop shape, the animal paw shape. So $10 to $12, depending if you want the keychain version or not. And I bought a bunch to give to friends and family, because they're so unaware of this invisible war, the invisible rainbow, right?
That's a good
I like
idea. I
that.
appreciate you saying that, Mark. And then another thing that I don't know that we've talked about is maybe, so the Shungite patches that are now out, well, they come with, what is it, six little round discs. So they're smaller than the Shungite rubber discs. They're about a third that, maybe, but and thinner. So those are easy to just put in your pocket as well. And then you have the Shungite in silver rather than a rock or stone, or you can stitch those into the Shungite, patches they come with. So for those that don't know, we now have Shungite patches, I think they're called. And then they come with an adhesive patch that goes over a smaller piece of cosmic silver Shungite rubber. So the non-toxic rubber with silver and Shungite. And those patches don't have to be used with the, or I should say the Shungite portion of it doesn't have to be used with the patches. You can just put those in your pocket. or another place. So that's another convenient way because they're a little bit smaller. I know the other shungite rubber available is larger, other than the discs, but just an idea.
Yeah, and people can get the magnets for kids' chairs in the classroom or even for the teacher. And some classrooms have the Wi-Fi, like sometimes in the closet or just in a space where it's too close to the kids, and just taping one of the stickers on there rather than peeling it, it can be used continually. And I always have extra around because you never know who you're going to run into. You go to these outdoor events, festivals, and then you run into people. So in my phone, I have at least three of your stickers there to give the people whenever, if I run
Now,
into
that's a
somebody
good
new.
idea. I'm going to do the same thing. That way, you don't take just the one out. Because I do like you. I don't peel it from it either. I just slide it between the case of the phone and the phone, and then. But I'll and clearly they're thin enough where you can put a few. So that's a good idea.
I don't know if a parent can go in and start putting these stickers all over the place. That's one of the problems.
Well, they still be in the backpack of the kid. But you know what age group we're talking about here, because we're just kind of speaking vaguely. But yeah, no, I wouldn't expect the mom to be able to walk in and start slapping stickers everywhere either. And then, but yeah, it's keep it on the kids.
But they have the ink too.
Say again, Mark.
The ink that Derek sells, the little nail polish of the silver shungite ink. I mean, that's a lot of the boxes of the routers are black, right? So you just put how many, I don't know, Derek, how many drops of the ink can be enough, or if that could even work on a Wi-Fi router. So it's not even seen.
I
It's like
would go
hidden.
for bigger stuff than wife than the ink on there if you can.
All right.
Yeah. Because that's those are a lot.
But while we're on the subject, it's these the AirPod things. It's just everywhere. Like everybody has it, and you just put the one drop of the ink on those things because I don't know. There seems to be mixed reports depending where you look. I mean, if you're in the EMF sensitive and people who specialize in this thing, like you guys, it's like 10 times the energy of. I forget if it was a microwave or a router, and that it burns your eyes. The person interviewed Flory Fleischman, what was it, a week ago, a couple of weeks ago? She was talking about that it burns the eyes, and I didn't know about that part of it, but I don't know. Have you guys heard with the in comparative to a Wi-Fi router and a microwave that the level of those AirPods?
No, I'm going to have to research that as well. But no, I haven't heard something that's interesting. It doesn't surprise me, though. So, well, I mean, no matter what, then we have the, of course, the store as well, the Shungite blue light glasses. I think we're calling them something else. But in essence, that's what that is, too. So then you have, of course, the beneficial factor of blocking that, the blue light, and then having the Shungite. So they're all the rim of it, or brim, rim, I guess we call it, has Shungite paint, so shungite and silver lining it, so it's up in your forehead area. Shungite is, while you're wearing the glasses, as well as stopping the blue light. So that's not a bad idea if you can. I think they're adjustable. The arms, I'm getting the name of them. I'm sitting here wearing glasses. They move out, so they'll adjust for different size heads is what I'm getting at here. So they work pretty well.
It's, so the glasses he's talking about, they're not prescription. They're just, you see through them. And it's to block the blue light. Now, we've talked about blue light, but not particularly on the Shungite show. And blue light, Mark knows a lot about it, is very dangerous. But the idea, if you could get your kids, I don't know if most kids will wear glasses. But if you could explain to the kids, look it, this will protect your eyes. This will give you the ability to be able to look at things and not be damaged. You should wear them because inevitably, if they are energy sensitive, to put the glasses on will make a difference for them. So it's something that parents should think about, to be able to put those glasses that the rim is got shungite on it. So it's not just the blue light, it's that your whole eye system and your face are being protected. Well, actually, the radiation will, go off into your brain and help your brain be protected. So I hadn't even thought of that, but that's an amazing thing to think about. They tell the kids these are super glasses. These aren't like the other ones that the people wear. These are super glasses. Maybe they'll wear them.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
And
if they already do wear glasses, then the ink, you could put it on the top of the rim. That's what Derek was advising in the previous show. Like one drop of, over each of the lenses. That's what I do. I did make a post in the Shanghai group on the AirPod things. This is from David Allen Tyner, and he has a page called Brainwave Education on Facebook. And let's see, modern scam, AirPods. AirPods are microwaving your brain. They emit extremely high EMF, go deep within the ear, and are way too close to the brain for my comfort. Any radiation emitting technology that is placed close to the head where the body should be avoided. And so they do the comparison of these numbers. An iPhone hands-free is 50, the wired earbuds is 50. So even the wired ones, you still get some EMFs. iMac Wi-Fi on is 300. iPhone talking is 300. Apple Extreme Router, which is their Apple's Wi-Fi, contraption is 3,500. Apple AirPods are also 3,500. So there you go. It's the same as wearing one of those Wi-Fi routers in your ears. That's insane. He does do a bit of a further description, I guess, as far as promoting his business. But friendly reminder for those buying the newest tech over the holidays, there is always a consequence for convenience. That's a good term. Go wired, go with air tubes. And he gives different options as far as his site goes, buildingbiologyinstitute.org. And then they have a find an expert section. And the guy, I mentioned his name, he's an electromagnetic radiation specialist, building biologist. Retired Caltech, JPL, and NASA telecommunication engineer and scientist. Let me see. I guess I could read the others, but Bluetooth and Wi-Fi wireless are both far more dangerous than most can comprehend. As are 5G telephony, as the radio frequency, oh, RF, radio frequency equals microwave. The carrier wave has both a data, quote unquote, surfer riding together into our vulnerable brain tissues, plus far lower frequency waveforms punching way beyond their weight class. Signals include 10 hertz and or 50 hertz channel swap control signaling, which are exactly overlapping and remodulating our brain frequencies, form 5 to 50 hertz. And there's a little bit more in the post, but people can just go there and read it. It's from back in mid-July. I put that up. Because I'm in some of these EMF groups, like EMF Warriors. There's a electrosensitivity group, support group. I think on Facebook, that's really good as far as sharing different updates. And now, because of Derek's interview with, I think, some Roman on Substack, people there finally became open to Shanghai, the electrosensitivity Facebook group, because of what it does to the bees. So it's a good bridge of, the woo-woo to practical use, and making people see that. Back to you guys.
I don't know whether or not you still send the picture of the thermo graph information regarding what the cell phone does based on the heating up of the brain. Do you still put those in the Shanghai? Do you still have those that you give to people, customers?
No, we had them in store available, but not in little business cards any longer.
Well, that's too bad. Let me make myself a note. Thermal test. Okay. Hopefully you can see the video, the image for this video or for this show, and I'll have the picture up there. But what happened was that this woman who was doing thermography readings on people, mostly their breasts and that sort of thing to help determine if you got cancer or anything. One of my friends started talking to her and said, "Would you agree to do a test with a cell phone?" And so they set this test up. And it's even though I knew that this is what was happening, this was back in 2014, even though I knew that that was happening, to see the visuals of you got a phone. Everything around you, your head, everything is cool. It's a blue color. And you turn this phone on, and within a matter of minutes, your hand is heating up. You can see the change in the hand. The area of the phone and where you're listening to it, all of a sudden it becomes bright red. That's heat. Now they say, oh, these things aren't dangerous because blah, 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 blah. What's happening is that your body is rotating one way. All the cells are rotating one way. You put that energy up there, it's rotating the other way. So you've got energy fields coming together. And what happens is that the Wi-Fi or the phone, just being in your hand, is overriding your own physical cells, and it's causing friction. When you have friction, you have heat. Okay? This is what is actually happening every time you get near these things. So then they were able to do the same test over, but this time the cell phone had a shungite sticker on it. And yes, there is still some heating up, but nothing comparable. Nothing. And I hope I've got those pictures that I can find, and I'll put them up on the promo, because when I saw that again, it was another aha moment. I mean, this is why I'm so been so dedicated to shungite, is because I have seen what happens through a number of small little experiences and experiments that people were having. And this was another big one, because you could visually, in a picture, you see it, you can't unsee it. So this is what we're talking about. This is how the damage is being done. Your body is physically being attacked at the small, almost molecular level. All of your cells are being attacked and forced to try to, they stop the movement of it. I mean, if you think about it, when you touch one of these things, your body begins to fight unless it's got the shungite on it. Now, we're not going to change the amount of energy coming off the phone, but what has happened is that it's been modulated so that it's no longer rotating in the way that is option opponent opponent an opponent to the what way your body wants to rotate. So I just wanted to point that out, that we do have very, very good, from our own experiences, never mind what other people have found, because there's even other people that have done other tests that have found the same thing. So I want you to be able to visualize that it's a heating process that kills off your cells. And I'm assuming that the damage that Flory was talking about on last week's show is the same sort of thing. People are getting blinded because they're cooking their eyes. So I just wanted to, again, it was something from the past that made a difference in my understanding of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I want to
Over to
add to that. I put it in the chat here, not the public chat, but the Zoom as we're recording. Of I made the post of the graphic back in August 20th last year, in the Facebook group, the Shungite group, and I brought it back up. But it shows thermography, three images of the same person, baseline 20 minutes without being on the phone. And they get the S4 sticker, the cosmic silver shungite sticker on the phone after 2 minutes of a call. And then you get the one, like the before and after, the final image of the guy's side of the head without an S4 sticker after 2 minutes phone call. And it's like way more heated compared to when the S4 sticker, which is just slightly heated, from the baseline. So there's a comparison. It's just not that much more, and that's how much of a difference it makes. So pretty dramatic before and after. And I don't know if a future thing, if it could be put back on the business cards, because I still have some old ones, but I thought those were really helpful. But the graphic is easily shareable. People just save it on their desktop from the one on the Facebook group.
Yeah, no, I just took the image again from the post you did, Mark. I'm going to put it together on, try and get some business cards made and get it online some more. And yeah, we just have a lot of stuff out there. But that is a really good one that gets the point across quickly. So I'll play around with that one and edit it and re-get it out there. And then I have a, I don't think mine's anywhere remotely as nice as the one used here, but I have a FLIR device for my phone I can hook on, but I think I vaguely remembered I tried that and it just wasn't, enough detail for me to get much of a read on it. Oh, but no, I'll redo this graphic.
Yeah, and the fact that it's online, people can access it. The shareability of it, and like what Nancy said, it's just like with the Flory interview I did last week, where I mean, people understand the invisible waves of the Wi-Fi, which is people have Comcast now. It's like they're showing off that they're giving out more free Wi-Fi, and obviously that's a good and bad thing. If people don't have their layers of armor. For me, I have the biogeometry pendant in one of their other symbols, and then also Shanghai. And then I'm probably going to do this pose later today of having a tan, having more melanin in your body, and it based, you would get, they say you get more color, darker skin is a form of EMF protection. That's the thing Dr. Jack Cruz had been promoting more ever since last year of his discoveries and explains in his podcast. But yeah, I'll put that article up. It's a Nature article that melanin does protect. I don't know to what degree, because in some of Dr. Cruz's interviews, he was talking about these targeted individual programs and why is it that people with darker skin are harder to control. And like, for example, I work a lot in Oakland. They've been spraying Oakland like crazy. Not recently, but all summer. It's like, why are they doing that? Because the more metals in the body, then with all of these different invisible war tools they have, it's sending frequencies or whatever, just like Operation Crimson Mist from Rwanda. It's just variations of that. And even in the there's a new comedy movie, The Naked Gun, I just saw. The bad guys, one of his main weapons is turning a frequency on and controlling people. I mean, I know they did this in the Kingsman movie series, and this one Stephen King movie, The Cell, I think, or Cell, something like that. And so they're putting it out there and telling you, in more easily more digestible summer movie form, that yeah, it just takes a frequency, and then, like with all these shootings that's going on. Anyway, you want to add up your armor layers. Shungite, for me, Shungite, biogeometry, getting your skin darker. It's free, just be out, Yeah, I'll send it back to you guys.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, like, hey, you don't have to pay for it. Just get outside. Yeah.
Yeah, because as far as the hottest times of the year, at least for where I live, it's August and September, so you can max out on that and the vitamin D. And sail through the winter.
Yeah. Nope. You're
I
right.
another thing in your store, Derek, that I think would help. I know the back to school thing I'm just harping on, but it's your hydrosol sprays. So maybe you could tell us what each of the sprays do. Like one of my side gigs I do is more or less like a taxi, and then I'm constantly using a spray in the back seat. People having different odors and auras, obviously. And I have the what is the one that they do the smudging? I forget the
Oh,
name.
Palo Santo maybe or Sage.
I do both,
Yeah.
but yeah. So if you give us a detailed rundown of It's relation to shungite, and then what each of the sprays do.
Yeah, the hydrosols are a great thing. Actually, I just made another batch of them here recently, especially the Palo Santo one. And this is so for those who don't know, Palo Santo is a wood, and it's usually cut into small pieces, about the size of your finger, and then you light it on fire until it starts smoking and blow it out. So you smudge that, and so really, that's a scent we have here, and or I smudge in here in Mystical Wares with that. But I mean, actually, on the hydrosols, I'll tell you, explain a little bit about them. So yes, smudging, and there's lots of terms for that, but smudging calms down or clears or affects the energies in any given area. So that's worded 50 ways itself. So that's a thing you can do, but smudging, if you do it typical ways like lighting sages, there's lots of different types of sage. So it's a leaf of the sage plant that gets burned, and or Palo Santo or other ones. Those will burn off the particulates, so you'll be breathing in the actual physical pieces, the carbon, the soot, all of that burning in there. And of course, that's not good for your lungs, and that is one of the outcomes of it. But usually, that's been tolerated because the smell and the energy effect is so great. But that's when I started looking at that, and then I had lots of people having different lung issues for different reasons. So I gave it some thought, and when all was said and done, we've got our hydrosols, which begin with shungite water. So it's actually really highly purified water that all run through the normal 3D filtration processes like carbon filters, reverse osmosis, even UV light treatment, because there's a lot of things or particles that are in typical tap water or even water you buy in bottles somewhere that cannot be removed even through reverse osmosis or carbon filtrations and things like that. And a lot of those molecules are going to be in the prescription drugs that people take, and then they pass into the wastewater treatment system, back into your drinking system. And regardless of how many filters are in there, there are, and these are just studies that are out there. So question everything I'm saying and look it up, and you'll see, and you go, oh, well, at the end of the day, no matter what, there's still stuff I don't want in my body on the molecular, and it does affect you. It's not like it's, oh, so small, it just passes through. No, absolutely not a thing. Because they're so small, they pass the blood-brain barrier. So drink the water, that particle you don't want, and I'm being vague for a reason because there's a lot, pass the blood-brain barrier. It's into your bloodstream now. And so in essence, yeah, you're drinking, and I'm not kidding, prescription drugs of all types when you're drinking just straight tap water and even the filters. So that's why the UV. And the UV, and again, that's a whole other topic as well, but that's part of it. And then after all those treatments, add shungite water beads to it again, and it sits in that. And then we'll start from there. So let's just go with the Palo Santo. I'll explain how I make, because I just did it. Hydrosol. I'll take the Palo Santo wood itself, no essential oils or scents or flavorings of any kind. And actually, and what I do is I get what's called like a hemp bag I have in the garage, and put the Palo Santo wood in there and start hitting it with a sledgehammer or a little mallet, depending on how much I'm doing, to break it up and get in smaller pieces. And then that I'll put. So I'm explaining that you can do this at home too, everyone. If you have all the parts and pieces and the tools, and you can get them. But you take that, let it sit for set amount of time in that water. So I'm literally saying put that smashed Palo Santo or sage or whatever, frankincense, there's different ones that we make, and let it sit in that water, depending on which one of these I'm talking about, for a couple weeks. It just depends. Again, there's a lot of different scents, and some transfer over into the water faster than others, and that's the natural process. So there's no chemicals involved. Some people use butanes and other fuels and chemicals, we'll just say, to extract the scents and the things, but we don't do any of that. And then after it just soaks in there, in essence, for that long, I'll filter out whatever's in there, in this case, Palo Santo, and then put it in the still and distill it out and extract just the hydrosol. So now it comes out, just so you know, for an example, the Palo Santo turns the water like an orange color. And that's just from the various resins and stuff that's the particulates in the Palo Santo wood itself, and sage would color it, a little bit differently, but the coloration's in there. but only until the distillation process. And after I'm done with that, it comes out, pure as water. There's a couple of them I'm not talking about right now that do come out a little more hazy just because of the resin ones. But most of these hydrosols come out in pure water. And then you have the, and all that energy matters because I take into account the container. I'm not just making hydrosol, the water molecule that is, of course, everybody in this podcast and listening to is aware. They're energetically programmable. So that's not lost on me. Meaning when I go through this process, the right environment, yep. I mean, in the room or the space I'm at in Mystical Wares, needs to be right. Even my state of mind, so if, let's say I've had a rough day or something, well, then I'm going to pause and just not do that at that time. And that's an important aspect of it. And being aware, and again, I'm saying all this because anybody can do this. Be aware when you're working with water or things like that, that your energy affects it. And that'll start having affecting the, what we can call the metaphysical aspects of that thing you're talking about. I don't care if it's a cup of tea in front of you or a hydrosol or whatever. Literally the person's aware, and this is scientifically proven by physicists. They did the plants and other things. The, I'll bring it down to a layman's level for myself, how I'd want it spieled out. But literally from the human perspective, if they just have the awareness and they don't have to be able to spell this out to some scientific level for a physicist class or anything like that. If they just know it's a thing, meaning their thoughts affect the, a lot of things, but we're talking water right now, water around them, then it does. It's that simple. There's not, again, I make fun of things. It's not a special yoga pose you got to do or breathing exercise beforehand. Your awareness, and then to make it stronger, we'll say in air quotes here, confidence. Know it. That's a thing. And that part of it really affects it. So, of course, that's not lost to me. So then we know that. And actually, the hydrosols are made, oh, I don't know, a couple tons of shungite is around them. Not that it's necessary, but being made in that space clearly has an effect as well. So then now you've got a hydrosol, so, which would be in essence, if you don't know that term, and I didn't initially, because you all have to, we all have to learn it at some point. It's now a, think clean, sprayable incense or, replacement for that. So now you don't have the harmful particulates from stick incense that often have resins and glues rolled to bind all those things together because something's holding the little pieces together of those incense sticks or matches. There's incense matches as well. And candles, there's particles that are burning off, usually not good ones, in the wicks of candles. A lot of them have metals in them, believe it or not. Not that you'll see, but there are some in a lot of the wicks of candles. And of course, your artificial scents and then all that stuff. So if you use one of our hydrosols, you've got basically pure, energetically structured water with the scent and energy signature is a good way of saying it, of, in this case, Palo Santo. And that's what Mark's talking about. He's using, that's what I use as well, is the, I like the Palo Santo one myself. But yeah, so it's a good way. And then you don't have the breathing issues either. And you can wear it on your clothing. I have people that wear it as a cologne or perfume, depending which one, because there's a lavender as well. I would just wear the Palo Santo one. I guess I would be walking around smelling like a piece of wood, but I never thought about it. But I like that scent. But yeah, there's a little explanation on the hydrosols. Nancy, Mark, did I go too fast or leave any part out you think is pertinent?
No, that's good. The idea of, it's simple yet powerful. The idea of having it as a scent on yourself, because again, with the summertime, seeing friends and family, different kinds of outings, vacationing, and then when you get back into the, what is it, after summer, just a few weeks from now, several weeks, or for some kids, like in 2 weeks, they're going to school already in August. Of having that scent on the clothes, and then that, how does that? So a kid puts it on their clothes, like a scent or a cologne or whatever, and then they go into a classroom because you're the biofield is extends out to what, 3 to 6 feet, and so if you have a field that has the, whichever any of the fours, I don't know what you recommend for a school environment before getting going in there, and how would that affect going into the, with other kids' fields.
The hydrosol, well, to be not a whole lot, to be honest, because it's not The way it would, okay, the way it would is if that person, so we're talking about kids, so that'd be a little harder to get to happen, but if they stayed aware of it, thought about it, focused on it during the day. I'm not sitting there again having a long meditation on it, but an awareness. So our awareness, as again, scientists prove that they, talk nice to a plant and poorly to another one, it literally had an effect. And yes, I truncated that down real quickly, but that can be looked up on a search engine about plant study. And then, yes, they've done it with ice, and it goes on and on and on. And all we really need to know, and I'm talking to everybody here, not just Mark and Nancy, we're just speaking, it's knowing that that's a thing, and then it becomes that for us. It's really just an awareness. It's nothing we do. So if that person entering a space, I'm going to flip it a little bit. Let's say I'm going to a family reunion, because those can be heightened places for a lot of people. I would spray, well, I would have shungite all over me anyway, but let's say I just had that hydrosol. I would spray it on me and then just stay aware. And full disclosure here, somebody can just focus on their aura or biofield and do the exact same thing. Now, the scent is kind of nice because it draws your physical senses or attention to that. So then you think about it. It's kind of like if you put an unusual rubber band or bracelet on your wrist and it every once in a while, when you saw your hand, because your hand's up in your line of sight a lot, people can do this thing with something like that. It'll draw your attention enough and remind yourself, oh, I'm supposed to think about this, that, or the other when I see that unusual thing. Some people, and there's a whole study behind this, will put a little mark or a sticker on their hand, something again unusual that when your hand gets up in your sight, you take that moment to focus on whatever you want, and that's again just a visual trigger or cue to draw your attention. And then that way you do it, you have enough energetic, I have to kind of work with this one, energetic focus or attention enough throughout the day. So that would, you're going to have better manifesting results, would be one way of putting that. And I'll have to give that more thought on how to spiel it out, but that's a thing. So then when we're talking kids, yeah, if they knew about it, let's say they knew that. They got their magic spray. If they're really young and they want to call it that or something, it'd be fun. Say, you got your magic spray on. And whenever you're feeling stressed, just think about it and know that you're armored. And then that little kid in this scenario I'm playing would literally strengthen their own aura or biofield. And sometimes we spiel it out as etheric hygiene. So, yeah, it's a great idea. And I would spin that, super spray, have fun with it, whatever, and depend on the age. But that's how it would really have a difference. Not the other kids in the room. Not that I could see them anyway.
Well, let me give you another layer of that. Is that the child themselves, when they spray themselves, okay? It's like you say, they lose the stress, they're feeling good. That in and of itself is going to affect the environment for the rest of the kids.
That's a good point.
The child themselves. Because I learned this a while back. I hated to go to the grocery store. So I said, this is stupid. So the whole time I went to the grocery store this one day, I was like, joy, love. I just kept, doing kind of mantras of the things that I wanted to feel. And I walked into that grocery store, and before I left, I had five friends. Because a person who has got a lot of really nice energy gets people's attention. And one of the reasons I'm thinking about this is that my best friend, she, was going to this dentist for a long time, and finally I went to the same dentist, and they're just lovely, lovely people. And she said she went over and had her teeth cleaned, and while she was there, she said, I want to thank you for, doing well by my friend Nancy. And they all went, oh, she is so nice. It's like people don't miss it when they're, yes, I'm nice, I'm polite to people, but I'm not overly polite. And I mean, it's the essence, because when before I go through this, there's been days when I forgot it and it was not a good trip. But if you're just get yourself into a balanced and positive and joyful feeling yourself, and that in and of itself will be contagious to other people. And what happens, I watched it. I go into a room that feels a little kind of yucky, you know, but I just go, all right, peace, love, blah, da 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 da. And pretty soon the people that I'm interacting with, they begin to pick up on that. Now they go someplace and other people are influenced. My firm belief is that balance and the feeling of joy is more powerful than any of the angst and stress that people can have. It just goes away, you know, when they're in that kind of an environment. And unfortunately, we walk through environments that are designed to give us stress, if not designed stupidly, you know, created that we're all under stress, even though we shouldn't be. But we are, unless you fortify yourself. And the fact that you are right is like a beacon to other people to be right. So I just wanted to point that one out too.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah, more ways we all hit this and explain it. You know, some of them resonate with the way I say it, you say it, Mark. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the hydrosols are a good thing. We use them every day in here. And then for
Well,
dog beds, go ahead.
I use it every time I'm having a cat fit. Somebody's having a, one of the cats is having a fit. Or if the dog is overstressed because he hears thunder in the distance, you know, and I've got, what is it, four of them, I think. And I just, you know, grab whichever one I'm being drawn to and do a couple of sprays in the environment. And again, a cat or a dog is energy sensitive. So as soon as it hits the air, as a matter of fact, the boy who is normally the cause of it, when he sees me come in, he'll take one look at me and he'll go, "You're gonna spray that stuff again, you know?" And he'll kind of like take off, but I get the spray out there before he can get out of the room. And he goes from somebody who is really angry because he lives with four sisters, I mean, three sisters and a mom. He's not a happy camper. Three sisters and a mom. He's not a happy camper most of, well, once in a while, he just, rah, rah, rah. And the difference in him before the spray and after the spray is like night and day. So again, sometimes the only way you can prove these things is to pay attention to the details.
Yeah, if it does that to animals, I mean, we're in the same vehicles more or less.
Yep.
And because of all of this Wi-Fi radiation, whatever else is around the environment of technology, that's constantly making cells in the body erratic and flight or fight, that's going to go a long way. So whichever one you use, Nancy, it's like that should be used in every room. Like if you're having a meeting, work meeting or something, it just gets everybody grounded, especially with the cosmic silver shungite water that's mixed with it. It's it just adds to the layers of bringing people back to the ground.
And the reason it works is something that we try to point out all the time, is that A, we're water beings ourselves. We're mostly made of water. But B, around you is water. We live in water. It's called humidity. And that humidity can also be programmed. And that's why this stuff will work for large groups, not just specific groups. You know, you spray it and all of the molecules, the water molecules in the environment begin to react to it. And that reaction is scientifically called resonance. Any energy field will affect another energy field. It just depends on the two energy fields. So if you're spraying this stuff that makes people feel really good, then the water molecules are going to take that out too. And that, I mean, when you first spray it. But it's something that is simple. You don't, if somebody says, "What are you spraying?" "Oh, it's just a, you know, help the environment a little here." You don't have to get into any of the reasons why you're doing it. And you know, you can spray it without anybody seeing you, basically, or you can spray it on yourself. But again, I just love to spray it into the, and because I can sense, let's say sense, I'd see it, but let's say sense, I can sense what's happening to the atmosphere. You shouldn't underestimate these things. Oh, it's just a bottle of water. No. It's much more than that. It's a bottle of energy.
Wanted to add to that too. Every week Derek has a free scalar healing. This week's is reducing inflammation, anti-inflammation, reducing that in the body. It's at mysticalwares.setmore.com, and people can put on as many names as they like, and it runs on every Friday. Derek, I don't know if you want to detail us on that.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Now I'm off mute. Yeah, we got a. I'm trying to think about, let me open it up, see what I have going on this week, because I need to see. But the scalar will be, and as you mentioned, it goes on every week. It's Friday for free. And when you go to the scalar webpage at mysticalwares.com, you can sign up. It's going to scroll down a little ways, but you can, in the sign up box, you can put multiple people. So you can just put your name, a comma, and somebody else. It makes so you don't have to redo it for each person. Just so you're aware, but this weekend's one or Friday one is going to be anti-inflammation, looks like. So that's set up. And that, so to do that, I'll give you a little bit about it. Of course, and all this is explained on the website and how Scalar works and the device, but in essence, it can work remotely. It's not working, it works spatially, you can say as well, but it'll work remotely via how we do it. So what we do is have you go to this website, like I mentioned, or the webpage, sign up, and then every Friday I'll print out that list of signups and actually physically take it back there and put it in between the two scalar units and the two devices. One's a transmitter, one's a receiver. Basically, whatever's in the middle of them, be it a bottle of supplements, a person, or a list of names, a plant, it can be anything. And you can affect it, the thing in there, I'll just keep it vague for a reason, via what's called scalar waveforms. So I'll have to come up with some good analogy of how to describe that without getting into all the intricacies of how it looks, because we don't need to understand how country music looks if we had a visualization of it, on what's called an oscilloscope, to enjoy it. We just have to know it feels good. So I'm kind of bringing it up that way because it can get real complicated. You can get real lost in the math and the understandings of it. And I'm just not that guy. I mean, I can bore everybody to heck with it and do a whole podcast, but I just know that it starts to drone on and you can lose it. So just think of it as a smoother or a software, a real, I'm blanking on this one word because I don't use it very often, but a real calm way of integrating frequencies if the person chooses to into their biofield. So long story short, I summarize it as it plays good songs that you can download on your playlist. And in this case, if their name is on the list, we'll be tuning them in, let's say, energetically. And within that overall, we'll call it a channel. So think FM music channels up there, country, blues, rap. We're gonna have our scalar one, and this is really how it kind of works, where we're gonna be playing this Friday, anti-inflammation, to go with the analogy here, song. But really, so within that scalar field, we're gonna have the frequency of anti-inflammation, and then we'll put each individual's energy in there via them agreeing to sign up on this form. And I know I'm not doing a good job, but I'm trying to keep it as digestible as possible for maybe a new listener that's first time hearing this. But if you really want it all spelled out, I have a real boring web page on it, and it tells you more. But it is a thing, and it will affect you remotely if you choose to. So that's, and we do it for free, like Mark said. So every Friday, I keep it to where you have to sign up each week. I mean, for several reasons. One, because I switch it up every week. It's not always the same song, in this case, anti-inflammation, playing within that channel I'm broadcasting in the ethers. I know, a really weird way of speaking, but that's in essence what's happening here. And then Nancy, Mark, and whomever else decides, and a scientist would say, well, that's choosing via quantum entanglement. Sure, we can say it that way. Or we're all connected, but you can think, just know it's a thing, and then you will be affected via those frequencies. And how, real quickly, because I'm just OCD that way, NASA even did the same thing. So everything I'm talking about, I'll just make fun of it, the woo-woo angle, turn it on this device affecting you. Well, it's a thing. And how they did it was NASA, they took a photon, and this is all online. People can look up the studies. I've read them. And I'm gonna truncate it all again so we can get it going quickly here. They took a photon, they split it, put one up in the space station, one down here, and they didn't do it just like this, but to get it fast, they shook the box down here. They actually hit it with frequencies. And the one up there, because they were separated but yet connected via quantum entanglement, so distance meant nothing, they were affected. So that's a thing too. Just like in all of us have had this more simple one in our life at some point where we were just sitting around doing whatever, and all of a sudden we were thinking about our brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, or whatever, and then all of a sudden they called you or a text came in right away, and they said, "Well, I don't know, I was just thinking about you." Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can say psychic thing, but really, quantum entanglement, we're all connected. And there's lots of ways, and I'll stop now, but I could go on ways to show that it exists and works as long as the person just knows it's a thing. And that's all the more specific they have to get to, is just realizing and going, oh, okay, if I talk nice to my plants or put my name on this list, it's going to have an effect. And then it does. So I hope that wasn't too much.
I just want to point out that the way that I find it is that I go to Mystical Wares and I put in the search sessions because Derek does a lot of sessions and it's a list of the different types of things that he can do, but at the bottom of it is the free one. And I don't know. It just is the way that I remember to get to it. So you go to mysticalwares.com. Put in the search sessions, I think maybe Derek sessions, but sessions, and you'll get this list, and at the bottom of it, that's where it is. And it's so easy, you just click on it, and then a calendar comes up telling you what date you're clicking for, and the time comes up on the on another panel on the right. You click on that, and then you just sign up if you haven't signed up before. Or in my case, I say, I want you to do the email thing. They put all the information in, and then all you have to do is say yes, and boom, it's done. It doesn't take you any time. And once you're signed in, then all you have to remember, and they give you different options to be able to sign in. So I just wanted to tell people that that to me is the best way of doing it. Mystical Wares sessions, maybe Derek sessions, but all the way down to the bottom is the free one. And then calendar, time, boom, you're in. And they'll send you a notice that they got it. And then just before, an hour before it goes off, they give you a reminder that you're going to have a session in an hour. So I just wanted to give that to people. So is there something else you want to say on these subjects, or it's well, we still got a little bit time here on the show for an hour, but whatever you're comfortable with.
No, I'm good. No, I mean, well, more announcements. Well, I mean, unless we wanted to chat real quickly about the and I've got so many tabs open. Just hang with me for one moment on the Collective Chronicles.
Yes, definitely. We Mark and I did a show yesterday. Was it yesterday? Sunday. And what it is that we started we were doing, talking about something else. But I remember what you're doing really had an impact on what we were talking about. So a group of people out there have heard that this is happening, but I didn't go into the details. So yes, please, I would like you to expand on that subject because we kind of promised the people from yesterday that we would do that.
Yeah, it's so what we're talking about. So I know this is kind of patchwork together, but and this I'll make bigger announcements in the future, but for various reasons, I'm putting together a new website. And so that web address, and I'm gonna have to kind of let it out now. It is under construction, as you can say now. And there's a lot, it's gonna probably double in things it'll be on there, I'll just say, but it's psychicwithoutwarning.com. So, and it's there's gonna be a new podcast tied to it, and there's gonna be some behind the scenes stuff happening there, subscriber content and different things. But one of them is called what I called it the Collective Chronicles, and it's a I'm gonna just look away from the screen so I was getting my own spiel now, not read from it. Because again, if you want to read this, you can go to psychicwithoutwarning.com, scroll down, and you'll see the Collective Chronicles link. In essence, it's a community, or in this case, subscriber-based email or ebook, where each month we're going to have different topics. So I'm going to have, and I've started this first one already, but again, because the website's still kind of in under creation mode, I'm not setting any time restraints on anything. But subscribers will be able to, and you get a lot basically when you're a subscriber. It's $8 a month. And you get 10% off the entire store and all the discounts and everything. So it'll pay for itself in an order, not to mention private behind the scenes podcast recordings and things I'm going to have, to a blog, to a forum, lots of stuff. And I just won't continue all that now. But the interesting part that Nancy and I were talking about here a minute ago is the Collective Chronicles, where each subscriber can every month submit their own chapter to a greater ebook. Focused on, again, whatever topic or character or focus is happening that month. So now it's going to be, again, I had to come up with some name. So that's the Collective Chronicles part of it. And then we'll have at the end of the year, we'll have 12 chapters, or there'll really be books. So it'll be 12 books, short books, I guess you'll say, within the greater book that we'll publish online and via Amazon. So if you become a subscriber and you log into this, you get to unleash your creativity. And again, you're going to be able to read. Let's say I maybe put in chapter one or something. And then subscriber, we'll just call them number two, decides they want to submit one. And we'll patch these chapters in such that they don't have to go in exact order. And real vaguely, I'll give you an idea. Think in this first one, like Doctor Who. And if you're not familiar with that is, so then character. That time travels. So, in essence, your chapter doesn't need to exactly line up with anyone else's. They're going to lay out, and then we're going to all at the end of each month and then the year as well, the collective part of it, see how the story unfolds. And then what I haven't announced yet is I'm going to structure it such that they can be patchworked together. So, Nancy, let's say you write a chapter, submit it. Well, one version of that book is going to have your chapter in the third chapter, if that makes sense. And then maybe another version I can piece together, I'll move your chapter to number two. And that's going to change then the layout of the story and where that person goes. And there's a lot more to it. And I don't want to make it too confusing, but it is spelled out on the website. But really, all anyone needs to know is, well, it's a collaborative ebook with, and it'll be user submitted character names and topics, things like that. So it is a truly community based ebook initially. But like I mentioned, once it's done and we get enough of these monthly books put together, patch them all together, because I can already publish on Amazon, I'll just upload in that cart and it'll be instantly a and we'll acknowledge all the contributors as well. So you can, in essence, if that's something you're interested in, become a contributor and published author in that community book, and it'll be available for purchase and paperback, but also to all subscribers for free on ebook as well. And that'll be each month, as well as the overall larger book at the end of the year. And so subscribers could have, well, I'm chapter five in this month's book, and I'm chapter seven in that one. And so it's gonna be a lot of fun doing that, especially seeing where everybody's imagination goes. It's and I'll keep it such that I'll just the character again isn't frameworked into this set criteria of having to do this. So it's not so shock and awe when a completely different author, writes that next chapter. It'll feel like it's a meant to be thing, because then that character, I hope this kind of makes sense, is in a new, in one of the books we're going to have. So think like multiverse. So person time traveling. So then they're going to all of a sudden find themselves in another reality or another lifetime. Well, then they're going to see it from that perspective. So then that's going to be that new author's perspective and won't seem out of place. And again, I'm not really sure I'm describing this very well, but I'll do better and get it spelled out on the website. So yeah, that's kind of what's going on in not so short. as far as that portion of the new website. So I think that'll be, go ahead.
Isn't it? It's sort of, let me ask you this. You play video games, right?
Oh yeah.
Isn't it basically the same sort of movement that a video game has, that you go in as a character and it changes and you influence and blah 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 blah, but it's always a set basic story, right? I don't know, I've never played one.
That's yeah, not too now. That's pretty good. You know, think role-playing game, they call them RPGs or MMO RPGs. I can go on and on, but oh yeah, I'm an old gamer geek as well. I'm not even sure those things are even around anymore in that scenario of it. But yeah, so I mean that's because I had to come up with a way. I didn't want just some ebook where you're reading what Derek's writing. I mean, come on, how boring is that? Everybody needs to get involved, and then we'll have a voting process and polls and things like that. Everybody be involved one way or another. And the chapters there. So yeah, it's, again, stepping on stage. So then chapter four, let's just say in the I'm already forgetting the first character's name, but it's in there. Let's just go with the word named Bob right now. So Bob all of a sudden finds himself, boom, and he's in this new environment in, you know, what we would say a different body or something. And that's just the first book, everybody. So this isn't an ongoing you know, multi past life reincarnation ebook or you know, it's going to vary every month on different ways. They'll all be unique and interesting. So, in essence, yeah, just get your creativity on and submit it. And right now, even not being a subscriber, you can go to that web page and view preview pages of a lot of the stuff and the downloads. I'm adding more custom hypnosis sessions up there. So again, it's you can subscribe now if somebody's interested, and then get behind all the paywall where you're going to see all this stuff. Because when the podcasts start, there's going to be, and they're going to be video podcasts. There's going to be some very interesting names all there. I just say I'm lining up now. There'll be a lot of fun, and then we're going to have monthly webinars and chats as well. So we're going to have live on Zoom, and sometimes on YouTube with a hidden link on there that you'll be given. To where we can have live question and answers. You can ask questions, different topics and things, and that'll be happening. There's already a forum up in there happening, so custom blog and all these things have stuff in them already, but it will be expanding a lot more. So it's gonna be really interesting and should be a lot of fun. I don't know if you had any questions on it. I don't know if Mark or Nancy even had a chance to view the website because again, it's in the construction phase. Well, before I even let you answer, everybody also. This will be the first time I'm actually releasing this where I put it into a story of, or an explanation story of how my, what am I calling this, psychic activation. So when I first became aware or started seeing entities and things when I was a correctional officer, so I put it into a form that can be read there on the front page and extended my bio a little bit on that new Psychic Without Warning website as well. So there's more stuff that's going to be shown on there. Because it's going to have a lot more of me and what I do on there. So, and it'll evolve. Oh, one other thing, beekeeping classes I put together, and it's already up there. So, for subscribers, they can do there's and it'll be evolving as well because there's lots to add on, but a basic beekeeping class, and I get into the mason bees and carpenter bees, some information I haven't released before. So, there's going to be, and I'm only saying it that way because there's going to be new stuff and interesting stuff. That I continually add, even in the blog, I'll continue to do blog postings and stuff. So on new topics.
No, it sounds exciting. How's our bees, our shungite bees that you're working with, beehives?
Yeah, I'll have to get a video update soon because just two days ago now, I added additional supers. So I'm talking about another box on top. And these ones are a little bit different because I'm coming up, I'll get in as much as I can, new ways of introducing shungite to beehives where the beekeepers can't redo their hives and maybe they're not even open to it or anything like that. So what I'm saying is there's a way, and I've blended shungite powder with beeswax, and I'm getting it in certain forms now, that anybody, beekeeper or not, can put these things out in their yard. A bee will find it. And what they'll do, because I didn't realize this, I guess it makes sense. It wouldn't be a known thing. But example, so I'm beekeeper, I take the honey frames out, I extract the honey, or maybe there's an old frame that I've taken the honey off of or whatever, and I don't want to reuse it. What a beekeeper does is just sets that frame. So again, the boxes, just to kind of so everybody knows, the box that's out there that looks like a beehive, those have 10 frames, think slices of bread, kind of look like that. They're sitting up just like that in a toaster kind of deal, for visualization. You can take those out, set it out there, and the bees will 100% clean within a couple of days, clean off that frame or a box that you have honey or wax in or something, and reuse it. They don't waste anything. So even if you, so when beekeepers extract honey, it's not all. Sometimes they'll damage the cone. Sometimes they'll just uncap it, it's called. So scrape the top of it and then spin the honey or the frame in a certain device to extract the honey. Well, the bees will clean all that up, and they don't. The beekeeper doesn't really do anything after that point. They'll either just give it back to the bees and they'll repair everything damaged and or reuse it. So what I decided was, well, if you can't have bees, and most people for whatever reason can't have beehives of their own or don't want them or it's just not feasible, whatever reason, and there are still bees that can help. So I'm making small, I don't really have a name yet, but pieces molded. So I have a little beehive form is what it is. They're about 3 inches tall. A little beehive mold out of beeswax and shungite, and they're black. And what bees will do, wild bees as well, honeybees only, will come find these pieces of wax and they'll move it into their beehive. So, long story short, they'll dismantle this little shungite beehive that I'm molding that's just saturated with silver and shungite powder, and that will go with it. And now those bees are taking it into their hive. So now we've got a way of integrating shungite powder with silver into a beehive on the inside, because until now it's always been, yeah, you can try and maybe dust some in there or something or other, but it's not really in the stuff. I mean, yeah, and then the best part, of course, is painting the exterior and adding the nuggets. And that's if it's your hive and you can control it and you've got a new box that you can paint, weight, and then put incorporate in the beehive. That is not usually the case. I found out over all the years now that even the beekeepers in California, they have tens of thousands of hives. Well, they're not exactly going to repaint them all, and just clearly not a thing. Well, now we get these little, again, I got to come up with a name, but these little, and they look like the old straw beehives from, vintage antiquity. So they look like that, a little mold with some bees on them. And then again, you put those in your environment, even if you have an apartment building and you have no yard or you have yard, whatever, set it out there. Again, even if you're in that scenario where you have just a back patio and you're on a building. Bees go really high up to find flowers and they'll pollinate things like that, and they'll smell it. So they'll smell that wax and they'll take it apart, incorporate it into their frames that they're making now. And that's one way that you'll get it in there. So again, even if you're a beekeeper or not, do you have any ask any questions you got on that? But that's a product that will be coming out relatively soon. Go ahead.
That's absolutely awesome because now you can affect the wild beasts too.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what I've already done. I have two sitting out there now at my, because I live in the woods. So out here in Cascade Mountains, just to give a quick visual for people, that's where the shungite beehives are as well. But since I'm out there, it's not a bunch of beekeeper. I'm the only one that I've seen so far in that area. It doesn't matter. There's wild bees and colonies everywhere. And yeah, they all go around and they'll take from that wax. So they'll absolutely, we'll have trees out there with shungite in them now, inside of them, I'm talking about. Yeah, just by doing that, because there's no other way to do it other than, I mean, I guess if you walk up, drilled a hole and did something, but no, I mean, the way to actually do it is get these little bees to grab a piece of shungite, and they will be when they transport that wax from A to B, wherever that would be. I don't mean to keep saying the word bee, but yeah, so.
That's awesome. I mean, that's just whoa. What yeah, I want a ton of those things.
Yeah, and that's a cool thing too, because they'll just disappear. And little by little, you have bees on them. I put one in a bird, a shungite bird bee bath as well. Just wax. Water's not going to damage it. So they're sitting on it, floating on it. So yeah, it's a little. I've made a few forms now. Again, I really shouldn't be saying too much yet because I'm not ready to produce them yet, but that'll come quickly. So right now I'm in, it'd be called alpha stage, and the shungite bees are the first to experience them.
Okay, now the one problem I foresee is the melting of the wax.
Now
Down
they
here
don't, yeah.
in Florida, I'd have to be very careful where I put it because it would melt.
Let it melt. Doesn't matter. They'll pick up the wax. It makes no difference. Even your cappings, it's called. So when I was talking about extracting honey from the frames, basically a knife goes over the top of the frame, exposed, takes the lids off the spots in their comb, and then it just goes becomes a mess. So it doesn't matter the bees, they'll pick it up. The damaged stuff, the melted stuff, as long as it's not a hot pool of liquid wax sitting in there. I mean, okay, they're good point, Nancy. Caveat, if you're in Florida or stupid hot areas, I'd have to say over 100 degrees, because I've done this in Arizona. It's not just going to turn into a blob. It's pretty good wax. Yeah, it'll soften up, but so what? Then the bees will grab it. I mean, so,
Oh, okay.
and I have in
Okay.
the water anyway. Put it in the, okay, you leave in the sun. That's why we're in beta stage. Well, we're going to move into beta stage here, it'd be called, for these kind of things. So it's great info you're giving me, but I'm putting in a bird bath with water. Well, it's no chance it's going to go anywhere. And they're taking such small pieces. Again, as long as it's not liquid wax and they're hot, it's going to harm a bee. I mean, now let it melt everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done it all kinds of ways. I've had frames I set out there where they literally do that. A frame of honey, it'll just boom, melt right down, just like any wax would in hot weather. And the bees didn't care. They picked it because they're picking up such small pieces. It makes no difference. But good point.
Nice,
Yeah, and
nice.
that's the only way I could figure to get it. And I'm using it as a lure too. That's another podcast, but you can use it with lemongrass. So I've got different recipes of this I'm making. One will have lemongrass. For those that don't know, that's an attractant to bees. So if you want some bees in your yard or something, go get some lemongrass, spray it around. That's a thing. So I'm going to integrate into that, but I'm also trying to hook up the wild colonies. So I'm tucking these little guys out in the nook of a tree. So I'm shungite gritting with shungite beeswax for the wild shungite bees. So we're now there's not just shungite bee colonies that have obfuscated from my hives and other hives, but now they're going to be true just wild ones. So the native bees as well. It's the only way it's one way I came up with getting it in there. And then I can catch swarm that way too if I want to not use, because a lot of people don't know. I don't want to get into a whole bee thing here too much, but bees are vaccinated. That's a thing too. It's you literally have to request unvaccinated bees, or they have been vaccinated. And there's several ways they do that, so that's a thing. And the way when one way to avoid that is to invest in a 5 gallon bucket, drill a hole in it, and I'm not kidding, you can hang in a tree out in the woods, get one of my little bee lures, and I'm not going to call it that, put it in there, and you're going to have a swarm. And I can give I'll do a post on this or something. You put it near waterways, creeks, rivers, streams. Bees tend to go near that anyway because the Oregon energy flow, and scientists know all that. So that's where you would then put your bait trap, and then you go there with you drill the hole such that the bees will enter that 5 gallon bucket, hang in there, and then you go there at night, stick a rag in there, and close it up, and you walk home with a bucket of bees, and then you transfer them into your box. And I went really quickly there, but that's the long and short of how it really goes on catching wild colonies and things. Because they're gonna look for a spot that already has what I used to do, and others too. Again, I didn't invent this. You can line the bucket with waxes and things, and then they go, "Oh, home, built-in parts and pieces for furniture." You can kind of, loosely word it, because everything of theirs is built with wax, and then they know, well, good place, and they'll start making, and then their colony will produce another queen, and they'll go in there. So that's one way that some people don't know about it. Beekeepers don't, because they don't deal with wild bees. You can expand the native bee populations by just giving them an apartment with that's pre-furnished, and then they'll do that, and then they'll literally generate another queen, do a split or a supersedure if you do it yourself, and more colonies. So there's stuff people can do out there without maintaining bees on their property or having to suit up. You don't. There's other stuff, and just leave them in the wild.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
We'll talk more bees in the future. I think that's all I have for today, and I'll have more announcements, another product here in about a week or so I'll talk about. But
Mark, anything?
That's it as far as Shanghai goes. Any kind of updates? We got the Mystical Wares Facebook group and Facebook page, Shanghai Reality. And then Derek, your most recent interviews on Sowing Prosperity, and then Nancy, you, me, and Kaylis, we taped a couple shows over the weekend, Cosmic Soup, which was fun. Yeah, that was good. And then for the Awake versus Aware, we interviewed Michael Cremo of Forbidden Archaeology. Really cool. He gets into deep spiritual stuff as far as his version of reincarnation, which you guys did talk about in the Say What Show Saturday. His take on it, and then we got to ask him about immortality, age reversal, and consciousness as the foundation of existence, and that's nerding out on those kind of things. The claim to fame for forbidden archaeology is that found modern human remains, even tools, in layers of rock that are like millions of years old. So that's a really cool the story on that, and his promoting his new book, Extreme Human Antiquity, which just came out a couple months ago. And yeah, that's all for me.
I guess I do have a, there's a, so I'll be at another podcast. I don't know the exact date yet, but it's with Alphavetic. So that'll be coming up here. I think we'll be talking a bunch about the bees. I've done one that with them before. Dr. Bear's on there. I don't know if, how familiar you guys are with them. Great podcast, a lot of information. The podcast they put out, I mean. So yeah, I'll be on that again in the near future. I'll announce a date when I know it's going to be out.
Where do you have a list of your podcasts?
It will be okay. Basically, I'm gonna have to start announcing it from this podcast on or this recording on. Everybody should just start going to psychicwithoutwarning.com, and then under there, just click on my face. You'll see my bald head right on the front page. You'll end up on my bio page, and I'm adding them down there. So I've got some of them on there already. And then links to some of the couple of TV spots and things. So basically, the bio page. And
And we also put all the Shungite shows up on Rumble under Shungite Reality. So if you've suddenly found us and you go, oh, these people are interesting, you can go back for dozens of shows since we've got up on Rumble on Shungite, which is another way of doing it. We're on all the podcasts. There is a Shungite Reality podcast out there, but everything that Cosmic Reality, which is, more known, let's put it that way. We always do a lot of shows, and many weeks I do put the Shungite show up on there too, even though it has its own Rumble because it's something special. Like this one will probably go up on Cosmic Reality Station Rumble. I think it's Cosmic Reality Radio. If you don't have anything more here, we'll just sign off and hope everybody has an excellent and blessed week. And you want to say bye-bye there, Derek?
yeah, no, I appreciate everybody being here. Yeah, thank you, Mark and Nancy. And yeah, we'll look forward to next week.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Fun show, great updates, and get your armor layers up.
Okay. We'll see you next time. Next week the week following we have a guest on, Cassie, who has been on before, and she's written a book, Shungite, Expect Miracles, which is an amazing book. So there's more and more Shungite books getting out there. Of course, you got Derek's that's newer, and then you've got mine that's been out since 2014. I don't know when I did wrote it, but it goes back to 2014 when we first found Shungite. So thank you all for being here. We'll, like I say, have a blessed time until we talk again. Be safe. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.